listening to Electrician Live with your host, Paul Abernathy and Jay Brunberg.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Electrician Live, the only weekly electrician-dedicated podcast videocast coming to you every week on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And with me, as always, my cohort in crime, my co-host, Mr. Jay Grundberg.
What's up, everybody, man? Happy Thursday night.
Yeah. Everybody out there, happy. Thanks for joining
us. Happy Thursday night, man. You know what? You know what's great about Thursday nights? I don't know if you can see it in the background.
Oh,
but I got football playing, man. I got football rolling.
Please don't tell me who's playing. Okay. Okay, I didn't see that bird on the helmet back there, so I'm all right. All right.
No, it's not my Seahawks. I probably would have called out if it was my Seahawks.
Okay. Yeah, we probably wouldn't have got you on the show if it was the Seahawks. It happened to be on Thursday night. Everybody will get a notice. It'll says Electrician Live is canceled tonight because Jay's got to watch his Seahawks, and he's not even in Seattle, right? So anyway, anyway, thanks everybody for joining us here on our weekly show. Again, my name is Paul Abernathy, and Mr. Grunberg, Jay, the Basement King. So, Jay, tell me a little bit. Okay, so how was the week in Colorado? Let us know. Let us know. Let us live vicariously through you up in the mountains where a friend of mine just came back from there. And he said, and I didn't know if you Colorado Springs was actually that high elevation. I mean, I knew they talk about mile high, but he said it was hard to breathe. He said it was hard when you're not used to. You're from Texas where everything's heavy here. You go up there, and he's like, it's hard to breathe. Is that the norm?
So I've been here for several years, so I've kind of just adapted to it. But I hear it all the time when people come here, and that's why they call it mile high, or they call it 52D. That's because that's how high we are above sea level. And so it's hard to breathe here in the state of Colorado. That's why actually a lot of the Olympic athletes, a lot of the training for individuals, if they're in their off season, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, they'll actually come here to the great state of Colorado and train because it just helps them get adapted to a higher elevation. So when they go back to their normal states, they can actually perform a lot better. It's weird that they do that, but it actually makes sense. Like he said, it was hard for him to breathe here. But
yeah, I guess if you get conditioned to that, you can go anywhere, man. And you know,
you can go anywhere. So I love the state of Colorado, man. And for my week in Colorado, it's been really great.
So you live up there with that high elevation, so you should be performing higher. How come some of the stuff I've seen you do lately has been kind of lowbrow? You know, I'm just saying you're up there. You would think that you could step up your game a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's because you're not up here, you know, so obviously the quality that you're looking at isn't that great, but if you were to come up here, you would see it. So again, I can't answer that question. I just can't answer it. We produce high quality here in Colorado.
He insulted me somewhere in that rambling statement. Anyway, well, cool. Well, Texas has been Texas. It's been hot. But you know, it's starting to cool down a little. I swear it is, because the nights are getting nice and cool and crisp. It's perfect, you know, that type of thing. We're at that time of the year where you can actually at the night open the windows. You don't have to leave the air conditioning running all the time. So we're at that period where we can do that and relax a little bit. So I'm excited for that, because I like the fall and I like the spring. I don't like the summer. Winters aren't bad in Texas because we really don't get much. Right. So we don't get any snow. We might get some freezing rain and it's gone. Yo, that type of thing. Who's in the room? What's up? Who's in the room tonight?
So before we get to the room, say to piggyback off of that, the fall season here too as well, it's been a little cooler than normal. I've been able to actually go out a little earlier than normal. Like right now it's 7 here. I would probably be able to take Zombie, my bulldog, for a walk around 6 or so, where a couple weeks ago it'd just be blazing hot at that time. It'd still be about 85 to 90, and now it's roughly around 70, 75, so it's a little easier to walk at night with him, and I can get him in a little earlier, which is nice. And then the trees, just like anywhere else, probably it's starting to change colors. You know, the one thing about fall I don't like is how many leaves I have to pick up, right? Like, that's why I got rid of so many trees. I can't really say I got rid of them, but I have trimmed down, and I did get rid of one of the pine needle trees that we have, but all of my other trees are trimmed down pretty well, so I don't have to pick up as much. So it is changing, man. You can feel it.
All right, phone lines aren't open yet, so whoever's calling in, stay tuned. We'll release the lines. I see the line running. You see the phone number going across? Not yet. We're not there yet. We'll be there.
Yes.
So
I did put a comment out there, though. Somebody called in tonight, and again, we really want you guys to call in and interact with us. But
good news, I saw it, Jay. Remember of my old phone? I always had trouble, but that time I actually saw it, folks. So we might actually, it might all work now. I got a new Samsung S21 Ultra, baby. I retired my Note 9. I retired it to my wife. Shh, don't tell her. I told her it was the latest thing, so she was excited. But it was my hand-me-down. But I got this new phone, this new Jay. I got this new Samsung 21, and I got the case that houses the little, because this one works with the pin, never used when I had the Note anyway.
Over there.
But of course, I had it. Bougie, is that what it is? So I had to get it.
Bougie.
But let me tell you what, man, this is the best phone. It was worth every bit of the $1,100. $1,100. Remember when computers, you can get a computer for $800, but they want $1,100 for this phone. Is that crazy? What idiot would do that?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah. All right, you're blurry again. You didn't come out of focus. See, he's doing something different tonight, everybody. So you notice how he's moving around because he wants to be like the suave guy tonight, you know, moving around. He hasn't figured out to find his software for his camera so he can lock it so that doesn't it zoom. He hadn't figured that out yet, but we're working on it.
One step at a time.
One
man.
Thing at a time.
Okay, just one thing at a time. Let's do this slow, okay? But anyway, that's awesome, man. So everything's good in Texas?
It is good in Texas. You're still blurry, by the way. Everything's good, Texas. Jay will work on that, and I will segue into folks that are here tonight while Jay's figuring out everything. We'll do some shout-outs tonight. As you can see on the screen, I'm scrolling back. Joseph, welcome. Listening in New Jersey. Appreciate you. Thank you. Charles, what's up, Sparkies? Yep. Electricians in the house. That's what we're here for. Schwartzy, good evening. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Carlos in the house. Carlos is with us. Elwood, Flip, California, I believe, representing. Even after the recall, you're still representing. There you go, Jay. You got it. Let's see here. We got Nick. What's going on? Everybody here just going to get talk a little. Oh, you screwed it up, Jay. You had it and you lost it. Let's see here.
Hello.
Michael, welcome. We're all doing good. Let's see here. All right. So that looks like that's the gang. If you're out there and you're listening or you're over on the podcast, I should mention this. We are streaming live on Facebook as well, although I cannot see your comments still. XSplit hadn't figured that out yet. But you can come on over here to youtube.com/masterTheNEC and chime in if you want to chat. If you just want to watch, that's cool. But I want to say hello to all you over on the Facebook. If you're over on our Electrician Live and you're just watching the video and listening, you don't get to chat. You don't get to chat, but you get to hear us and see us. So, again, appreciate it. As always, the podcast is doing amazingly well. And hopefully y'all are checking out the Ask Paul segments. Again, that's a way for you to get those questions you want answered. And you're afraid to ask. Well, you got that portal, man. Just send them in and I'll answer them for you. And we'll do a podcast or I'll email them to you if they're selected for a podcast. There you go. You got it sorted out there, Jay. So All right. So I think, we got Lost 3, Your Queer Blue Dis, whatever. Hola. Welcome. Robert's in the house. San Antonio, Texas represent. Down Southern Texas.
What's in that cup of yours, man? Are you drinking a little bit of that?
Don't worry about what's in this. Would I seem amped up or something?
No, I'm just saying you're not able to pronounce the guy's name right.
Is that what it was?
Either, but you know,
can you pronounce it?
What up, Lost 3? Good to see you in the house,
bro. Lost 3. There you go.
Robert, happy to man.
Justin,
what do they call that stuff down there? That stuff, that syrup or something that all those hip hop rappers be drinking down there? That cough syrup or whatever they mix in. I don't know, man. It's crazy stuff that they do. But anywho, what's the topic tonight, man? What are we getting into?
So tonight's topic is we're going to be talking about rapping about some essential tools for electrical apprentices, and of course, maybe some of our own things that we have. But again, it's more about the essentials, what you need, not necessarily what you want, what you need, because there's a lot of stuff we want, but essentially what you need is an electrical apprentice. Although the beauty of this is, folks in the chat, again, if you're over on this stream that's listening to the podcast, or you're over to Facebook and you want to chime in, come on over to the YouTube stream. Again, bring it on. Okay. So, be a part of the family here. Come on over. That type. Okay. All right.
Charles says you drink it straight. You drink it straight. You're from Texas, so that must mean that Charles, you don't have any chaser. You don't have any mixes.
Charles knows. So Jay up in there would never understand, Charles. He don't need to know what's in this cup. Just move on, Colorado boy.
Move on, Colorado boy. We don't, anywho.
But anyway, I got to set him up anyway, because I'm sure I'm going to hear a bunch of crap here in a little bit. So any cheap, lowbrow shot I can get up front here is fine, because it's all downhill from here with him. So, all right. Okay. So we're going to talk about essential tools and what you need as an apprentice. But again, I would say these are probably essential also for the electrician, just in general. I mean, some of these tools, how could you survive without them, right?
Okay, right. And a lot of these guys, they take these tools that we're going to show them, and they actually have them as an apprentice. And then even into their licensing stage, they still have the same tools. Mm-hmm. I still have tools as when I was apprentice that I'll show you guys too as well. So,
what do you think if I still had some tools when I was an apprentice? Would they be in the Smithsonian?
I think they would probably be in some type of museum. You could probably sell them for a fortune on eBay, because they're probably like the first edition of certain types. So
I got the Klein when it first came out.
Wooden handled.
I got the very first Fluke that was ever made. No, it's, I'm not that old. All right.
That's funny.
Okay. All right. So let's go on and get into this thing here. And you guys got any questions about the topic? We'll do. I think we have some. And I'll scroll back and get any questions I might miss. But let's go on and kind of kick this thing off first.
All right. Are the lines open?
Well, let's talk about a couple tools first, and then we'll open the lines.
Get into it? Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. Get into it a little bit first, and then we'll open up some lines. So for those who called earlier... appreciate you.
My first tool on the list as an electrician, I know you guys probably think it's probably a screwdriver or maybe some type of, actual hand tool, but really it's my tool would be a hammer. And here's a picture. What are you showing there?
He's asking, what does my cup say? It says home on that side. Don't be messing with my cup. This side it says, home is where someone always runs to greet you. It's my dog cup, man. I come home from Jay's heard it. What happens when I get home from work? Those dogs go berserk. Okay.
Yeah, they go nuts. That's when I know he's home. I can always tell when you get home, because those dogs just. And what better love than to be greeted by dogs, right?
Unconditional love, right?
Like when I show up at home, my 15-year-old, he's just like, if he sees me, he's like, hey, sup, dad. You know,
you get that.
My 2-year-old.
Wow, you get at least a sup dad. I don't get that. I don't even get sup dad. I'm looking if I get a gesture or something. But yeah, with the dog.
Yeah.
Dogs are like dad. You know. So. I'm not. My mic's not too loud, is it?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
You're pretty good in my earbuds.
Okay. Good. I didn't know if I was over modulating somewhere because it looks loud. All right. Anyway, anywho,
he has a wind up Mager. Nice. A wind up one.
Yeah, I had the old wind up. You know what? Still sell them. Still very reliable. Okay. Especially if you're doing a 60 second spot test. At, you know, if you buy into the Megers being reliable to begin with, you know, people always ask me what my position on Megers are. And I'm like, dude, if it's a metal raceway and you have insulated conductors in it, Megers can work great. If it's insulated conductors inside of a non-metallic raceway, then Megan's just a crapshoot. You know, you're just getting it. Numbers will change with the wind, you know, that type of thing. So, all right. Anyway, let's kick it off. Let's kick this thing off. What's your first essential tool?
All right. So the first tool I have is a hammer. I think any apprentice on any job should have a hammer. I think it just serves a purpose. If you're in residential, you're banging on boxes, maybe you're taking out the floor joists above you, you know, those pre kind of cut holes. They're about 1 inch, I say. You know, we knock those guys out all the time. If you're trimming and the down drywallers don't cut out the box, how do you find it, man? I find it with a hammer. I go,
what's your brand?
I don't do that.
What's that? What do you got? What's in your hand? What's that?
The East Wing. This is the East Wing.
Okay. This is a Stanley with a anti-vibe.
How many ounces is that guy?
Gosh. Is there something that says it?
How many ounces is it? Mine's a 22. I can drink with my hammer. That was the old saying. If you can't drink with your hammer, then you need to go back and get one that you can drink with. So 22-ounce bad boy right here.
Looks like this is the same as yours, dude. Look at that. I know is you have to be able to wheel it. If it's too heavy, you're going to overdrive staples. You're going to miss the thing. You want to find that sweet spot. So the apprentice, don't let anybody judge you by the size of your tool. Hold on. You need to know what you need to have. You need to have a hammer. Okay. You have to have a hammer that you can control. I don't need you to be going whack crazy on this thing. You need one you can control. Okay. Jay's bragging about his ability to swing a heavy hammer, but I'm more important is to be able to control this thing. So you know exactly where you're going. Don't let me come after you and see all those staples you done missed and all that sheathing you done damaged. Don't let that happen. Okay. So apprentices, get you a hammer that you can handle. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, see, and Robert makes a good point. He says, I use a wooden hammer cut off at plastic box height. So I'm thinking he's talking about the receptacle heights. And that's actually a trick that I do as well. Actually, the Klein hammer that we set the apprentices to get there, it's about 15 inches long. This one is roughly 18. So I actually put a piece of tape on it. So that way I'm matching theirs out in the field. And that's what we kind of do too for rough-ins. You know, we try to go with that 15-inch height to the top of the box. If your hammer happens to be 15-inch, it's pretty simple. You just lay the bottom of it down or the head part of it down, match your nail-on box to the top, bang it on. If not, throw a piece of tape. And also, you can actually, bro, Hammy, man, my brother, big supporter, man, big shout-out to him donating $20. We appreciate it, Aaron.
Wow.
I love that guy, man. He's a... He's not even like Christian, and he enjoys our show. So big shout out to him, man. Love you, brother. So what I do too, because as you guys know, for single gang nail-ons, you have to staple within 8 inches. And for anything larger than that, it's roughly 2 inches. So you can use your hammer in so many ways where let's say this handle is 8 inches. I know that staple, if I put it to the top of the box or where my cable comes in to the top of my hammer, that's 8 inches. So there's so many different ways that you can utilize this tool. And that's why I love it so much, you know? What do you got? What do you got there?
Only Jay and me can spend this much time on a damn hammer. I'm just saying. All right, move on. Hold dude, on, I did like five hours hammer. On non-metallic sheath cable. What? No. Is that your actual hammer you use in the field?
No, but let me tell you something. When I was an apprentice, I came from the labor source. I was a labor ready apprentice, doing labor work out at a strip mall joint, whatever. And I got hired on by the electricians, and they said, hey man, bring all the tools you have, you know. And I showed up. I literally, my first day, I showed up with something like this, and they started laughing, man. They just, what are you gonna do with that, you know? And so,
dude, I'm here to do some work.
We've actually had this ever since, so this is the house hammer now. So
I'm here to do some work with that thing. All right. Okay, so next one might seem odd for me. The next one it might seem odd for an electrician apprentice, but I'm always having to go over with apprentices neatness, whether it's nail plates. I mean, not nail plates. Excuse me. Face plates for receptacles or cover plates, your switches, well, always on them, right?
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Now, yeah, they make little ones for the, but I mean, this one works either way. And I'm like, I harp on them. You know what? There you go. You harp on them because if you hit apprentice early, with the significance and the importance of neatness. And I think I told everybody, I told you the story of the only guy is that I had to flat out fire on a job. And that was the guy that I came to it was a multi-million dollar home and I was going to get more business out of this developer. Mm-hmm. And he put the sconces up and he had fingerprints all over the wall. The things were all crooked and all this stuff. And I made some comment to him. And he goes, I can't see it from my house. And I said, yeah, okay, well, good, because you're out of here.
Head to your house then.
Yeah, because that's not the response that you should give the owner of the company, right? So anyway, and plus I was going to get future business out of it. So I was like, dude, no. But definitely have a nice little level. They're inexpensive. You can pick them up in many places. Don't have to get any fancy brand names, you know, just a nice level. And there you go. You got horizontal and vertical. Perfectly fine. Yours is a little more fancier. It's got some diagonals, 45s, and all that kind of good stuff in it.
Yeah, mine has some magnetics on it, too. I'm pretty sure yours does as well.
This doesn't. No, I think, you know what? Oh, yeah, it does. It does. But you know, it's almost like it's missing something. See, this is a cheapie, so it looks like they could have put one more thing in there, and they didn't, right? So they cheaped out. This is probably a Harbor Freight.
Probably. I would saying. A homeowner style. This is actually from the supply house. I don't know if this is CED, QED, or whoever. Big shout out to those guys.
That's right. That's aluminum frame, though.
But yeah, it's aluminum frame, so it's not too heavy. And it does have the adjustable grip on the end, the set screw to where you can put it on like a piece of pipe. And as you're bending your pipe, you can use it again. Oh, yeah. I know I used to have a pipe or a level that was, we called it a no dog, and it was a very short one. And when I was in the industrial field, we would always have our hard hats, and you would see the guys again. It was probably like this long. It wasn't as big, and you would have it attached to your hard hat, you know. And that's how we rolled back in the industrial field. Obviously, I don't really do much industrial anymore, but I still do use this clamp on the end to bend pipe and everything. But yeah, I mean, you got to have a level. I was once told by an old guy, he said, a good apprentice always has two levels. I was like, what does that mean? And then I showed up without one one day, and he goes, this is what I mean. Here, you can borrow my second one.
There you go.
So we kept the job rolling. So,
all right. Yeah. What's your next tool? What's your tool?
All right, my next tool for the apprentice, I will go with the strippers.
Strippers.
And again, depending on what field you're in, meaning like if you're in residential, industrial, commercial, you obviously want to get the strippers that are tailored to that atmosphere that you're in. I have the NMB strippers that will do 14-2 sheathing. It'll take off the sheathing on 14-2. 12-2, and then for single conductors, I have the 14 and 12.
Nice.
That's the curved one, too. So that's the ideal one.
That's the curved ones, right? So that's kind of, you know, ergonomic.
Yeah, so they're the FlexFit. They're called Reflex T-strippers. Obviously, they say do not use on live circuits. These are not a 1,000-volt rated, like, insulated tools.
Don't need to be stripping
but make
live
sure,
circuits. Okay,
no, you so don't. And, safety but if warning, you do, make sure you use
warning,
the right tool for it.
Safety warning.
But I love these, man. I love how they fit in your hand. And then when you close them up, a lot of guys take their lock mechanism off. I never do because when I lock it, it fits into my tool pouch nice and neat. If you don't have it, it just stays open all the time. I wasn't a big fan of that, but I do know guys do that.
Yep. What's up, David? Welcome to the stream. Not Harvey Weinstein. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight.
What's up,
saw
brother?
Saw you snuck in here, Aaron. Thanks for jumping in. Did I leave anybody out here? That I didn't shout out. He shouted out, Aaron. But thank you again, Aaron. All right. So let's see here. So that, yeah. So I did not. I don't have a pair of strippers to show because Jay knows what I'll say about my how I still strip, which is probably not the way we want to promote. But we'll get there. All right. So. All right, so
hold on for Michael. Michael says he had DB electric strippers. My question to you, because I believe I had that brand too as well. Are those the ones that actually? So when I came into the trade, the big thing was were the strippers that had a tester on them too. Did you ever see those? You know, like a pin tester. It was almost. It would beep when you put it to a live circuit, but it was built into the actual stripper.
I've seen those. I just always thought those were just something else to go bad.
It's like a cheesy addition to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to some things, meters, it's great, you know, but I don't know. Just me.
Yeah.
Just me.
I didn't mind them, though. I mean, I know that some of the guys out in the field, they use the Racketeer ones, several different brands. Again, as you start coming into the trade more and more and you're getting more experienced. Obviously when you're an apprentice, we're showing you tools that you might not be able to get the ones that we have. You might just be able to get a pair of strippers. It may be the ones that you can afford at time, but as you get going and try other people's strippers out or look at them and see them at the supply houses, you know, pick up what best fits you. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He says he's never seen them. Yeah, man, check them out. They're the ones that the strippers that have an actual on and off button on the bottom handle. And if you click it on, you touch that handle towards like a receptacle or a conductor that's hot and it will. Beep, 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 beep. So pretty cool.
Mm, yep. All right. Let's see here.
What you got? What you got next?
Oh, hold on here. Go to another one. I'm working on something in the background here. Go to your next
thing. The next
thing.
One for me. So a lot of guys out in the field, they'll say get, you know, a Phillips, a flathead, maybe a square two. But again, as an apprentice, just for cost efficiency, instead of buying multiple tools, I would suggest buying like an 8-in-1 or an 11-in-1, maybe a 5-in-1, something that does have the Phillips, the flathead, and maybe like a square two. And what's cool about these two as well is they got like a quarter inch nut driver. You know, and I've actually invested in the Milwaukee one, which is a ratchet as well. The ratchets they're super nice, man. I love the ratcheting. But again, they're a little more cost. So if you can't afford those, just get the standard one. But this, now, the one thing that this doesn't do or that you don't want to use it as is a beater, right? You don't want to beat on the back
of
it. You
know what? You got the mechanism going on in there. You don't want to mess that up.
You don't want to take that up, man. I see a lot of guys, they use their tools for the wrong purpose. But this could actually be pretty much 8-in-1. So you're getting 8 screwdrivers in one. And all you have to do, pop off the one that's on there. And this is how I do them, guys. If you have anything like this, I take the existing one that I just popped out of the top and pry down. Because these things are tough, man. They lock in there. And pry it down, switch it out, and then just slip this guy right back in there. So great to have. Again, it serves as 8 purposes, so you're not digging through 8 different screwdrivers to find the right one. You just have one, and this happens to be Milwaukee. So
imagine that.
That would
so,
be.
So, yeah, so 8 and ones. You can get 6-in-1s, whatever, great to have, especially, you know, 11-in-1s. Service calls, great to throw in your pocket. I've been on many a service call where I get out of the truck and all I've got is a set of side cutters, pair of strippers, 8-1 or 11-1, and boom, you've got enough to go in your meter, things like that. You got enough to do a little bit, you know. Sometimes you don't want to drag around that big patch. I used to always joke, we could always see first or second year apprentices or whatnot, or even on a site, because they're wearing they have every tool they own on their hip, and they're leaning to one
right
side.
Right on their hip, yeah, man.
Everything, one side. And they might, all day, they might only use one screwdriver out of the whole pouch. But as an electrician, you'd see we'd be sitting there with maybe three tools in our pocket, you know, side cutters hanging out one of our pockets, you know, halfway in, halfway out, those type of things. And we look over there and you see the apprentice who's the lowest on the totem pole carrying all the tools. So we used to joke and say, well, you just stay near me in case I need a tool. I know you're right there. So you're really my mobile toolbox today. So that type of thing. So
yeah, pretty much. I had guys that would do that too. They would wear the big old Gatorback belts, you know, huge, man. And I'm not a pocket electrician. I've always wore my belts. Now I kind of, when I was out in the field, I always wore my belts. But I wouldn't wear I wouldn't put all my tools in them. I couldn't put them all in them.
I used to, well, in all fairness, I'm just talking in general with the pocket, but usually I'd have a little leather pouch that's only so big. It's like that big, mm-hmm. and it's got like a belt clip, and it would clip on the belt.
Pouches.
Yeah, and I could put in the side cutters, 8-1 or 11-1 or whatever. I could put that in there, strippers. So, you know, I could put a bunch of stuff. It had a loop on it that I could put my knife on it. So many sites now, letting you use knives anymore, I guess. They figure you're an electrician, you can wire in a house, but they're afraid you're going to cut your fingers off. You know, but all that type of stuff, that was all I needed. Now, especially for a trim out, you know, because your tool box or tool pouch, your bucket or whatever you're doing is right there on the site. You just don't need to carry the whole thing around all the time. Anyway, we're not picking on them. Okay. You did one. Okay.
Yeah, I gotta do one now. Weinstein says ideal is his favorite strippers. Caleb says he likes those strippers. Charles Bailey, I must be old school. Ideal 45 120 T-spurs. He's been using them for 40 years. Wow, man! I'll tell you what, that's awesome. I think that just kind of tells you the quality of some of the tools that you invest in as an apprentice. You know, if you do go with a brand like Ideal or Klein, mm-hmm. you tend to stick with them, right? And look at that, loyal customer for Ideal for 40 years. David, you know, he's a Klein, sounds like. He says Klein is better.
Ford, Stanley Chevy
has the same.
Ford, yeah, right. Chevy, tomato, tomato. All right, anyway, let me go to the next thing. Okay, mine is your traditional, okay? Here's where I'm going to start getting picked apart. And I get it. I'm no electrician anymore. Okay, I got it. I'm not, you know, just, yeah, I get it. Side cutters. Okay? Love my side cutters. When a side cutter start to get where you can't close them, it's time for you to get some new side cutters. You can WD-40 on them, whatnot, but usually the side cutters start getting all bad because people use these wrong. They start beating the side of them with a hammer, and they beat the wrong side of it. They beat the side where you've got the actual spindle part, and they beat it, and it mushrooms out, and then these things get hard to open, right? So, you know, it's all in how you're going to hit, whether or not you're hitting steel. If you, like, say you got a studs that are side together and you can't get the box in there, and you can stick the, you can get this in there right there next to the nail, and then you can hammer this to help push that nail in, you know, that little tight space, you know. So mm-hmm. one way to do it with your sides, but again, it's important where you slam here. You don't want to slam right here where your mechanism is. Hammering with these, I have no problem hammering with these, doing staples and stuff like that. But again, I think very much about the side that I use, believe it or not. And so in this one, you can look and see which side, you know, where at I'm hitting on. But a lot of times mm-hmm. I even use the flat side, like a hammer.
Sure.
Just flat, boom, boom, boom. If I'm going to use these to do it, if it's in your pocket and you can do real quick staples, boom, 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 because we don't have any fancy staple gun. But so you can boom, boom, boom like this. So the other thing about it. Okay, so these are Doyles.
These are not.
These come from Harbor Freight. I am going to tell you right now, they compare it to Klein's and they market it that way. Go get, shut up. These things do fine. They got the grip back here where you can grip onto a fish tape, pull it. You can do a bunch. It's not a crimper built in. I know he's got crimpers in his, I know.
No, but with them, you can only one or the other usually. So those are nice.
What I will tell you, though, with this Doyle, whether or not you want them or not, and you want to be a fanboy, go with whatever you want, which feel good. But I will tell you, they have a lifetime warranty. So if something happens to these, you go get another pair. Lifetime warranty, baby.
That's one thing I really like about Harbor Freight, too, is that the tools that they give you, if they break, you go back and you can replace them.
Look at what Harvey says, times are hard. Hey, times are hard. You know, that's why I like to put on there, donations accepted. Paul's got to eat. So, no. You know what? I have used Klein for years. I still have my orange handle Kleins. Still have them. Those probably could be in the Smithsonian. Kinetic.
Yes. Schwartz, you're on to something, man. The Kinetics are a brand that I'm kind of changing over to. So I'm glad you brought that out.
Overpriced.
A lot of them are 1,000 volts rated, too. How old is your tool, Paul? How old is that one? Aaron wants to know, how long have you had those? How is that
this Doyle? Side cutter? I've had this Doyle's for, it's not new to everybody that I'm not out every day working in the field like I used to. So I've had these for about 3 years, and I've done a fair number of service calls. But most stuff I go out to is helping other electricians who can't sort out troubleshooting issues. But I have obviously used them. They've been dropped, you know, but the actual insulating on the handles have held up well. Incidentally, these were designed to compare with Klein. And for anybody that says they're made in China, what isn't? But they're made in Taiwan, so it's different, right? So anyway,
the Kinetics aren't. They're made in Germany.
Yep. So
they're all their stuff is. And
so you can't say American made, and half the stuff we buy is that for tools are made that y'all love or in other countries anyway. Doesn't say on here. Anyway, give them a shot. I mean, you know, but we're talking apprentices. The reason I brought this up, Jay, is because we're talking apprentices.
Yeah,
you know, having a set of tools that apprentice who's not making the big bucks yet can still do and use tools that can help them get the job done. We all have to crawl, okay? So these are reliable, insulated fine. They have a lifetime warranty. I challenge you. I tease you, Jay, but I challenge you to go get a pair of Doyle's from Harbor Freight and mess with them for a month. Everybody, shouldn't he do that? There's a challenge for Jay. Jay, I'll pay for it. Go get a set of side cutters from Harbor Freight, if y'all have got one in your area, because ain't much up there in Colorado. But if you got one.
No, we got a few of them.
Get one and try it out for a couple weeks and let me know your feedback. I will pay for it. I will Zillow, whatever it is, you the money, and let you get one. And then you can give a feedback to everybody. How about that? That's a challenge.
The ones I use.
Threw down a challenge.
I've had several linemen or side cutters, pliers, whatever you want to call them out in the field. I've had several pairs of these. One, as an apprentice, like any other apprentice, you get so busy, you probably leave it on the job site, right? I did a lot of commercial in my day. So when I was coming up, I was at warehouses working at night at like Sam's Clubs, things like that. So I would always leave my arm pliers on the job site. And after you leave about two pairs that are $40 each, you tend to then have to kind of like go, okay, I need 15, to invest. Yeah, exactly. Go into something bucks. More cost efficient.
So do me a favor, Jay. Go like this with yours. Did y'all see the difference? Do it. Look. Do yours. See how stiff he is? One hand operation. Boom, 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 boom. You know, twisting. Boom, boom, boom.
Are you kidding me? Watch this.
Now, see how it's stuck? Look at that. Look at that. Just that. Oh, I say, okay, oh, here's the test, Jay. You ready? Do this.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? $45, $50, $15. does the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, especially right. for the apprentices out there. You can actually probably put a good tool set together for maybe $100 at Arbor Freight. You know?
Last year we gave away 6 tool sets. They were all the Doyles. Gave them away to the vocational school here. So anyway, all right.
That'd be nice to do for us eventually too. But the ones I have now, as you can see, I've blown those bad boys up. You can see the hole right in between them. But I'm so steep, I don't
want to
go.
You're not even supposed to be doing that, okay? You're not supposed to do that. There's no need to be cutting on live circuits. Turn it off. Put it safe. This isn't your tester, Jay. This isn't what you use to test the circuit. Okay, this isn't a tester. So, I want you to look at that. Look, no cuts in it, you know.
That's because you haven't used them for like 10 years, man.
10 years? You know? Whatever, move on. All right, next. That was my tool. Go to your next one.
All right, so my next tool would probably be, I kind of touched on it before, but it'd be like a box knife, a utility knife. They're good to have.
I don't have my good
again. I have the Stanley one here that has the adjustable switch on it. You know, you just kind of push it in. You can go full throttle. You can go halfway. I love this knife. If I'm not, you know, stripping the Romex with the N&B strippers I have, I like to take the box knife and go right down the center, pull them off, strip it out of the way. But to have a box knife, again, a lot of times when you get material from the supply houses, it's all wrap plastic. You need something to unravel it with. So a knife is a good tool to have.
See, my pet peeve is that you need to remove the sheathing on NMB before you put it in the box. I do not like when people go inside of the box to try to remove sheathing. Why? Because I've gone on many a calls for the company I work for to notice that little cuts get put in the insulation. And when I put voltage through it to test the system, it makes little arcs because they actually cut into the insulation. I prefer you to measure it right. I'd rather you have too much sheathing in a box than not enough. And I would rather you strip it prior to putting it in the box. And the good news, if you happen to have a person that works for you that can't get the sheathing in the box, and maybe you saw a video on Instagram or TikTok about it, remember that the sheathing does slide a little bit, so you might be able to stretch it up a little bit and get it in the box.
Did you see that video of mine?
No, I didn't see that one. Did that happen to you? All right, so anyway. All right. Yeah, we're TikToking lately, buddy. I don't even understand that platform, but we're TikToking. We're putting little TikToks out there. It's not just for women posting pictures of themselves. It is for electricians too. Okay. All right, so.
Yeah, I had one of my guys today. I went to a job and I'm not even there to mess with the guys, but I'm searching and I'm scanning the room and I look up at this box. You know, it's a TV box, so it's mounted up a little higher, and I go, there's two cables going into it, and one, the sheathing's inside the cable, and one, it's outside the cable, meaning like it was a quarter inch below, so where just free conductors were going in there. And I did a video on it. Go check it out, TikTok, man, the Basement King 1-2, and take a look at it, man. I gave my guy some crap about that. So
yeah, well, I heard it. I saw his expression.
In the box.
Yeah, I saw his expression. He was like, really? Really?
He was like,
I didn't sign on for this for you to make me a TikTok. So
he goes there and he tries to lift it up. He tries to pull the insulation, and it has like 3 staples in it. And I'm like, dude, you got
to. So he rips the sheathing in the process of trying to move it. Yeah. All right. Next is, because of time, we're going to skip. I'm going to give you 2. So I think that diagonal cutters, may refer to these as dikes. But I think it's probably not politically correct to say that these days, but it is side cutters. Yep. Again, Doyle's challenge you to see a smoother set that works like this. Only problem is they do make some that do have, they do make one that has the offset, and I didn't get that one. I just had the regular one.
You got the straight handle, so yeah, I have the straight handle. You have offset. I love them.
Yeah, I like the love getting them. In there. It's also good if you have to pop a staple. You can get those angle ones there, you can get right in it, grab the staple and, you know, pry it. I don't like the thought of putting a screwdriver under and trying to just hopefully you miss the sheathing to try to pry off. I'd rather take something like diagonal cutters and the ones that, that actually offset, get it on, grab the staple and then bend it, and you can bend it up like that. Don't worry about reusing it. What does it cost, a penny or two a staple? Just don't throw them around. For every guy that says, well, Paul, that would be wasting a penny, I'm like, go look at the floor of your job site. It's probably $30 worth of stuff of mine on your floor of your job site anyway, from wire nuts to every staples day. To every day. So anyway, needle nose, good set of needle nose. Good set of side cutters. Definitely. Boom, boom. Must-haves for apprentice. Must-have for everybody. Okay? There you go.
Yeah. Residential or commercial. I love needle noses because there's so many times we're knocking out KOs, and these things are just great to get in there. I know someone mentioned earlier about, like, a multi-plier design, and I've invested in those where it's kind of like your sighters and your needle nose and your strippers all in one. They're cool. They are cool, man. Like, don't get me wrong. They are cool. But the thing is when you do add so many pieces into one, you take away from the actual, you know, purpose. You know, so like for example, you might get a little bit of the needle nose, but you don't get the full effect of it because they're trying to combine too much into one tool. So just be careful.
I've seen those. I've seen those. They're multi. They're a needle nose. They're a stripper. They try to put a lot.
Like
they
call them,
what do you call them? Multi.
I've like seen multi-purpose those. Pliers.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there's just pliers that do multi-purpose. And again, they have the reamers on them, and they're cool if you're doing the light work. But when you really need, sometimes you need that.
Get your separate.
Yeah,
get your separate. If you can't afford it, this is the way to go. But if you got the big bucks like the Basement King, you go for the $50 version, or you go for the $15 version. It's got a lifetime warranty. All right. Damn, I don't get anything from Harbor Freight. And everybody's going to say I'm anti-American, but I got the American flag on my hat, so can't be. All right, next. I'll go another one. I got another one. So I think it's pretty neat for an apprentice who's working to have nut drivers. And the most common nut drivers, right? So that would be 5/16, right? 3/16,
yes.
Quarter, half. Nice to have some nut drivers. Again, obviously, that's a nice to have too, a tool bag like that, a bucket bag. But it's nice for when you're doing equipment grounds in the back of metal boxes, and you can just put the end of hexagonal screw in there, and boom, and it's nice and easy. Trying to use a flathead, that ain't going to work. And not all of them are Phillips. So there you go. A nice insulated set right there. That's a fancy brand you got, isn't it?
So these are the Weehaw ones, man. I just purchased them, and
Weehaw.
These things are sweet, man. The Weehaw ones, dude. Nice, but yeah.
You think the guy that came up with that was actually totally high or drunk when he came up with the name? He was like, Weehaw. Anyway, so all right. So just to make you feel better,
I was gonna say those are Klein.
Yeah, just to make you feel better.
Those are nice.
Okay. What else you got? These are essential tools.
Yeah, so these ones are not. If you're an apprentice,
I wouldn't invest
in insulated tools. These are very costly. And like you were saying earlier, Paul, if you're an apprentice or even you're licensed, you shouldn't be working on live work. It's just like me. You know, someone said the circuit was off, and I actually have to blame my wife on this one. She said the circuit was off. I didn't double check her,
Golden rule, electricians, don't trust nobody else, even your wife, okay? Put your eyes on it. Turn it off before you go messing with it. Don't need to be a hero. Just turn it off. We wouldn't want you to miss the next episode of Electrician Live. All right, so.
No, we don't.
Next.
What you got?
Right here. Nice set of channel locks.
Oh, yeah.
Nice set of channel locks, and again from Doyle. Doyle. Mm. Look how he did that. He went, dude, look, they look exactly the same as yours.
Yeah. They're exactly the same.
Yep. See? But mine costs $15. I'm just saying. And a lifetime warranty.
Yeah, okay. I don't know how much the channel lock ones cost, but I used to strip off the end pieces right here. I would strip off this portion of my channel locks. And again, I know this is kind of not the topic, but, and I would use them to ream out my EMT on the inside. It was just another little trick to ream it out. But
so they're insulated for a purpose, Einstein. Okay. So I could be working on a pipe or a plumbing pipe, or I could be working on something. I could be working on something and it could be energized because the code says likely to be energized. It could be energized and you need that insulation. So stop stripping the end off of it. Okay. Don't do that no more. Don't do that.
Well, the purpose of it was, and that's the only time I'd use those ones is to ream out the
EMT. Oh, man, it's a waste of a channel lock, Grundberg. If you got to strip the end of it, and you're only going to use it to ream out conduit or something, and that's a freaking waste. Stop being wasteful. Okay.
Stop being wasteful. That's right. O says for apprentices, they should try commercial electric. You know, I kind of agree with him on that because the commercial electric, a lot of those ones are insulated too, and they're very inexpensive, and they come with a kit. You know, a lot of those commercial electric, I don't know if Klein does it. I'm pretty sure they all do it, but they come with like an actual bag, you know, a tool pouch. With several tools that we've talked about. So if you are an apprentice out there and you're listening, Commercial Electric, Harbor Freight, the Doyles, I don't know. I wouldn't really invest in Klein because, again, it's very expensive. It's like buying Nike for shoes. You know, if you're an apprentice and you don't know if this is the right for you.
The only difference is they're probably not made in a sweatshop and Nikes are. So that's the only difference.
But you don't need to invest.
I guess we'll never get Nike as a sponsor on Electrician Live because of that comment. Okay. All right. So phone lines are open if you want to call in about one of your favorite essential tools. Feel like you can call in. We'll probably keep going a little bit tonight. Again, nothing says we have to hold to an hour. Okay. So we're gonna keep plugging away. So here's the next tool.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you got a tool?
No. I was going to get some more of the advanced stuff once we get done with the apprentice stuff. But no, you're good.
Okay. So, God, I'm going to take a bunch of ribbon for this. Okay. All right. So all the people out there looking, you know, okay. So this is yes, but I had to share some love for a competitor. Okay. I just had to share some love for him. And that's all I'm doing. This is the only tool I'd ever buy from them. And so actually the only reason I got this tool is because I went and I had to get a new one for a project and I just charged it to the project and that's how I got it.
What brand is that? I couldn't see.
I just don't worry about it. It's a ticker. Oh, okay. It's just a ticker and don't even worry about it. You don't even need to worry about that. And it does 12 volts separately. And then of course it does the normal, so you can get the tick. You know, it comes with a built-in light as well.
That's cool. That's cool. The built-in light is
1,000 volt rated. Okay, so believe it or not, this is. And here's the fun. So when I hit people, give me a. So watch this. Stop it, Mike. So when people give me a bunch of crap about the Doyle,
get it, Mike,
and they go buy American. I will tell you, if you can read this close up, what it says on this very popular brand. It says made where? It won't zoom. It won't do it.
Yeah, I can't see it.
It says made in China. So for everybody that says, oh, no, their tools are American made. All their stuff's American made. Liar. Okay, anyway,
yeah,
so there it
that's
is.
Some BS, man.
Yeah, so half the power tools that we get, the pieces are made in other countries anyway, and they might assemble them in the U.S., and they put on there assembled in the U.S., not made in the U.S. At the end of the day, you know what? I don't really care. I really don't. I really don't care because as long as I'm buying them from a U.S. company, then I'm putting money in their pocket that's putting money in the economy. Okay, whatever. So yeah. Anyway, so for all the people that are going to hate me on that, all the thumbs down that we get for that, don't worry because I don't share thumbs down anyway. So there you go. So there you go.
China, that's China wire, he says.
China wire.
China wire, that's funny.
You need to trademark that.
O says he's using the Klein tester right now, and actually I went out and bought one, and it's not bad. It actually has a flashlight on it too, but my go-to is a Fluke, and – when I was coming into the trade, all the old heads had the fluke that it was just like this. When you put it to a hot wire, it wouldn't beep. I don't know. Yours probably beeps, right? It'd beep, 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 beep.
I don't have any power around here to do any testing on it.
The fluke ones, like this one I have, they don't beep. And I don't have to hit a button to turn it on. And that's what I really like about the Fluke brand.
You hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it. I can hear it.
So, yeah. So, it stays green. You can't see it because of my green screen. And when I move this near power, it turns red.
Yeah, I can hear it.
So, it's pretty nice. It's got a light built into the front, too. That's pretty sweet. Not bad. I'm not gonna lie. It's not a bad. It's an IP67 waterproof as well. I have noticed lately that a lot of these tools are coming out of the Home Depots and Lowe's. So I don't know what's going on, probably with their tools. But that has not been a bad little ticker. Here's the other thing I'll just say on tickers real quick. We got a call coming in. I will say with these tickers, don't trust them. Check them on a live source before you do it. Don't trust them. All right, here we go. Answer. Let's see.
Let's go. Take it, baby.
Hello, it's Paul. You're live on Electrician Live.
How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Pretty good. Well,
what's your tools?
My favorite tool is my brother, Jay.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I found him.
He is a useful tool from time to time. I will agree.
Yes.
It's not the he's not the sharpest tool in the bag.
No,
but
he is not. I got all the smart. He just got the look. <It's great.
laughs> No, he's a great guy. He brings a new dimension to the show, I will say that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking my brother under your wing and helping him out and stuff. I just wanted to tell you, Paul, you're the man, and congratulations on keeping yourself going, and I know you're going to do good on your endeavors.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. We do appreciate it, absolutely. Yep. As most people know, we've got a bunch of things going on in the works, a residential program. Jay's doing some videos. We're doing videos. So again, we have a lot of things. So it's a great collaboration that we have with Jay. So again,
yes, sir.
So
yes, sir. Everybody, go out there and subscribe and get that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's the best deal on the planet, and it's from these two wonderful men right here.
Well,
and do your thing.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, bro.
All right, man.
Take care. You guys have fun.
All right. Thanks for calling
in.
Talk to
you later.
All right.
Yeah, no problem. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's awesome. See, my brothers my brothers only came here one time before, and they never came back. They were like, I grew up seeing him. I don't ever want to see him again. Your brother loves you, man. So there you go. Mine.
Yeah, so cool. A cool story about Aaron is when I was coming up in the trade, again, I told you guys earlier that I was recruited by electricians on a job that I was a day laborer on. And so I went in and they hired me as Red Rock Electric down in Colorado Springs. And I had an expired license. I was driving from Washington to Colorado. I was a senior in high school. I was trying to make the best choice that I could make at that young age, which everybody in the chat, we've all been there. And I got pulled over in Oregon. I had a ticket. I let that ticket go. I couldn't pay it. My license was expired. I really was driving. I was just taking the bus to the job every day. But then the Red Rock said, hey, guys, hey, Jay, we can't start you as an apprentice if you don't have a valid license to start your apprenticeship program. Sure. So really, you're going to work as an electrician, but you're really going to be a laborer. And I let my brother Aaron know, the guy who just called in. And he said, how much is it? I said, at the initial time, it was $50. It's already gone up to $450. He says, I got you, man.
See,
not only do I got you on that, I'm going to go buy you a set of tool stuff. So,
see, that. Yeah. See, folks out there, I always tell people, the secret to somebody's success is there's always somebody willing to help. There's always willing for somebody to help.
Yeah.
Help them along. And, brother did that. I've had a similar story with my brother Todd, if y'all people have heard before. I would not be in this industry. I would not be teaching. I would not be in electrical if I did not see my brother Todd get so excited during Christmas when he got a set of tools. Much like what me and Jay are talking about tonight. It was basically like what we see here. It was, you know, side cutters. But my brother got so excited. And when I saw that, and I was smaller, younger than him, and I saw how excited those were, and he couldn't wait to get to the vocational school to use them, I was like, sold. I want to do that. I want to feel what that's what started it for me. And my brother knows that. I guess that's he knows that, but you know,
but that's it gives you that spark, man. And I'll forever be in debt. It doesn't matter. So this is the thing, right, Paul? It didn't matter the value.
You're where you're at today because of the generosity and the love of your brother.
Of the investment. Yep. The investment that he put into me, and now he's an uncle to two bright kids, man, and he's the best uncle, best brother I could have. Michael, he says your brother's cool, Jay. He is, man. Appreciate it. So yeah, and for you guys out there, you're always gonna need help, man, through this journey. You're gonna have to lean on somebody. You can't do it all alone, man. Mm-hmm. And whether that's a brother, an uncle, a friend, your wife, your significant other, your husband, whatever it is, you're gonna have to have somebody. So. Yep. I appreciate it, man.
Cool.
What do you got there? What is that?
See, Monty joined us in the house. Charles, I guess. Hey, Charles, Monty, been here. Bro? Did I miss anybody? Oh, hit us in the house. Fat List the Knicks, and I'm probably not saying that right, is in the house. I'm sure I didn't say that right at all. The Fat, what is that? The Fat List. No, that can't be it. The Fat List.
Listenix.
Welcome, Fat. Listenix. Welcome, Mr. Fat.
Yeah. All right, what's up, Fat?
Yeah. So the next thing is probably essential for all apprentices at some point. One is to get, but to know how to use is a voltmeter.
The multimeter.
In this case, amp probe, multimeter, voltage. This one does hertz. This is also has a non-contact. So this has a voltage ticker built in. You remember that one you heard earlier? Now listen. Well, that one's not as loud for you to be able to hear it. But it has it built into the end. And this thing is so sensitive. If you watched my video on it, I can actually trace the wiring in a wall from the magnetic field. Wow. Yeah, so I can actually route. So that helps in a troubleshooting. But you can actually find where the routing is of the wire or whether or not there's any wiring in the wall. That's how sensitive this thing is. And other people I know that have got it have been able to validate that. So it's not like this is a unique, rare one. And also, $120 bucks. And it does, it does ranges, AC, DC, hertz. It does capacitors. It does inrush. It does hold, inrush, hold. It does amps, volts. It does just so much stuff that I've had people literally test this out. And I will tell you this, it's confirmed. The guts that are inside this are the exact same for the big models that cost three times this. The company that makes this is just their way of branding it and selling it for less. Okay. Now, notice how his clamps right there are very limited in size. Watch this, Jay. Yeah, baby. Yeah, again. You just fall a little short, bro.
Again, that's compensation for something that he lacks in. You got to get the biggest thing you can get. I get what's practical. I get what fits in my bag. I get what I use on a daily basis. I'm not messing with 500 MCM, okay? I'm dealing with...
I knew where your mind was going, so I'm just going to put that away. It's not even worth even having that discussion. You want to use your baby meter, you go for it. Okay. I do have Fluke as well. So, but anyway, but I've been testing this one out.
These are good, man.
I've been testing this one out, and I tell you what, you will not go wrong with this. Yes, it is Harbor Freight, but I challenge you because if you look at the board that's in it, it goes in the same model of a name I won't mention, but it's a high dollar model. So anyway, And you can find the answer to that online real quick.
It reminds me when I worked at a flour packing company. I worked for General Mills, and I kid you not, we had a cylinder that had the flour in it, okay? We had a wrap. It was a plastic wrap for Safeway. I would package Safeway out of that same cylinder. I'd hit 5,000. I would take that wrapping from Safeway off and put King Supers or whatever it is, or lower or higher grade, and I would complete the float of the cylinder. Again, it's like you were saying, it's the same stuff that's going in the package. It's just a package label different. That's all it is, you guys. And
you're paying for the name. You're a lot of times you are paying for the name. Just so you know, you're paying for the name. So, but you know what? If you feel good about it, I mean, that's the brand you want to go with, and that's great too. I mean, it's absolutely, you can't go wrong with Flukes or Fleers or you know or the other Milwaukee. I mean, you can't. They're tested. They're listed. Oh, I should probably. You know what? I didn't look, Jay. What does yours say? What is your rating on yours? What's your cat rating?
I think I have two different cats. For 1,000 volt, it's a cat 3, and for 600 volt, it's a cat 4.
Okay, so this one here is rated Cat 3 to 1,000 volts, because this is a 1,000 volt meter, okay?
Yep, same.
So it's 3. So it doesn't say anything on here about the Cat 4, but if you know anything about it, there's really nothing me as a normal electrician is going to do with a Cat 4. Cat 3.
Hey, Tim Johnson in the house.
Hey.
So strong. Whoop, thanks whoop for the donation, Tim. Appreciate it.
So the other thing about this is a true RMS, right? Some of the older stuff from Flukes I have was not an RMS. So this is a true RMS and a true inrush. So it really was neat to do this when I was working on some HVAC stuff, to actually start it up and see what the inrush was. And it actually locks it at the inrush. That was pretty neat. You don't get that with the normal meter. So I was shocked when I was putting this thing through the paces that it actually had that. Not to mention the ticker and everything. So again, for an apprentice, we're talking apprentices. But I tell you what, this is one of the first meters I bought actually for my brother. And so I gave him one of these meters about, I guess it was a little over a year and a half ago. And it's his go-to meter. And he, working every day, just puts it through the paces, and he loves it. So anyway, but Flukes do great. They're great meters. Great meters. I'm not sure I'm going to pay $400 when I can do the same thing with $120, but whatever.
I had a kick-me-down Wiggy. When I was an apprentice, one of my
a little Wiggy with the spinner
kicked me down the Wiggy with the spinner, man. And it wasn't digital, it was
analog, baby. Analog,
and that little bar would jump up, you know, you hit it and it would, and you could hear the spring kick it up.
so folks ever out there doing readings and you're getting voltages that look kind of wonky, and you know the power's off of one circuit, and you're getting wonkies, and you're getting something like phantom voltage, it is going to mess up a digital multimeter. So this is where I advocate for people picking up an inexpensive, still make sure it's adequate CAT rating, pick up an inexpensive analog meter just to have. Because if you ever run into that situation, you're troubleshooting, and you're getting voltage and you're like, oh, what the crap is going on? Whether it's an open neutral, or what am I getting? Am I getting induced voltage from other conductors? What am I getting? A multimeter will make you go, but you go get an analog and you'll learn real quickly that voltage you're detecting is not a usable voltage. Okay. It's not going to have enough energy to power a analog meter. You're just picking it up on a digital meter. So it's what we call phantom voltage. It doesn't have any useful purpose. It's going to register, but it has no useful purpose. An analog meter quickly will distinguish that. So pick a cheap one up. It doesn't have to be the greatest thing in the world, but have that as part of your troubleshooting toolkit. There you go. Troubleshooting specialist. So you had a troubleshoot. So Jay had a issue. Jay, tell us, what is recently you had an issue with cutting in boxes issue?
Well, so I got a call back from one of the GCs, and this was after final inspection. So the basement was finished. We'd already trimmed it out. And there was a circuit. It was the workout circuit. And he sent me a picture of his, because all GCs have their little plug tester, right? They just think that they need to have that as a GC. And so he plugs it in. He sends me a picture, and it says open neutral. I said, okay. I go down there, and I look, and open up that receptacle, and I'm thinking maybe just the neutral, the white wire wasn't connected, right? And it was the end of circuit, so it was the last cable in there. So I was like, okay, well, this is kind of weird. It was connected right. And so I start reading it around the room, and all of the receptacles on that circuit read open neutral. And before I started taking them all out, first thing I do, and again, troubleshooting is a skill, you guys. After a certain amount of time, you're going to start noticing, you're going to have a list of where you start and where you finish. Mm-hmm. Start at the stubby. And I opened up the remote distribution panel, and I look, and I'm thinking maybe the guys didn't make the right connection on the breaker. Well, that wasn't it. So I said, okay, I see that that's made up right. I go to the first box, and it reads correct. And I go to the second one, and it reads incorrect, you know, open neutral. So I go, okay, my issue's right here at the home run box. We call it the home run because that's mm-hmm. where the branch circuit hits first, you know. Mm-hmm. I pulled out that receptacle. And I look in the back, and the neutral is split going out to the second device. So the first one coming in, the home run coming in cable was proper. It was connected right, so that's why it read. But going to the second receptacle, it was reading open neutral, and it read down line, open neutral. Well, come to find out, I look in it, and it's you ever notice when a wire gets hit by a roto zip? Like one of those zip, I don't know if it's a roto zip, but a roto
probably
zip.
Like a roto zip.
What is it called?
It's a roto zip.
It's a roto zip, right? It's what the drywallers use. You know, they get
yeah,
in.
Yeah, roto zip. The roto zip. Roto zip is a trade name of roto zip. But I have the same tool, obviously, in my favorite brand that you don't like. But it's it's the yeah. They're all roto zip ish. They get the blade is what does it. That spiral type blade. That's what does it. Right.
So. Well, you could tell that it was from a rotozip because you could tell that the insulation was kind of peeled back, you know, like as if it was damaged from one of those. And instantly, I call my crew lead and I'm like, dude, are you even hot checking this stuff? Like I went in like 5 minutes on him, man, and I might have made him cry, but either way, it didn't matter. At the end of the day, I knew how to troubleshoot it. And I kid you not, guys, you might run into a situation like that. And if you don't know how to troubleshoot or you don't give someone a call who knows how to troubleshoot, you might take out all the receptacles when really the issue was in that first box. So well, that was my troubleshooting.
I will tell you, I had a similar call like that and service call. And it's just funny you should say that because remember when I was mentioning how sensitive the tip is on this? Mm-hmm. I actually was able to do that in the first 5 minutes of the call in the room. I went in there with the tip and I could find the supply to the actual box, the line side to the receptacle, and it was in the wall. And when I tried to go out the load side over to the receptacle, all around the one that's downstream, nothing. And I went around the other one, nothing. And I went all the way around the boxes, all the way down, and went back to the first one, got it. And I realized, I said, okay, it's making it here, but it's not leaving. So I was able to go right to that box, open that box up. So I can tell you, for some reason, these aren't sensitive enough to detect that.
In the wall? No.
Yeah, this did. Now, maybe I got, you know, I like to think I got a fluke. You know, I get it, fluke. But at the end of the day, everybody that I've talked to that's used these have gotten the same, it's been that sensitive. So, hey. That type of scenario.
Oh, that's nice.
All right, last tool you probably should all apprentices should own. Again, your pocketbook be your flavor, okay? You can be fanboy, whatever your flavor, but you should have your own, is a cordless drill, okay? Yep. Okay, so again, yes, it's this brand. Yes, you don't like it. My brother,
I don't mind it. As a homeowner, I have some Ryobi.
Whatever. So my brother has been using Ryobi for years. He's the one that turned me on to it. And he has dropped them. I'm telling you what, you and I both know these are all freaking made probably. And I think that's what is Ryobi? Ryobi's part of Milwaukee.
Okay. Yeah, they're made, I think, from the same manufacturer.
So you know that they're probably the same thing, just branding it to sell it. And because you know what? This one is sold only in Home Depots, not in Lowe's. And, you know, of course, Milwaukee's sold everywhere because, again, it's pushed as professional line.
Is Milwaukee sold in Lowe's? I don't know. I don't know. So. I don't go to Lowe's much.
So and I know it's in Home Depot.
Someone would have to tell us in the chat. Tell us, man. If there's someone out there that knows if Milwaukee's sold in Lowe's, let us know because I don't know if I've ever seen them in Lowe's.
No. It hasn't let me down, and, you know, but I don't use it as much as you do, but my brother does. In fact, here's a funny thing. He actually, these days, he's actually wired entire houses with this. He puts the extension on there with the auger bit on the end of it, and he gets those, what do you call them? Those, the tag on it with the bit extension. Yeah. It's the piece that goes in it, and then it's the end hex. It goes in. I can't remember the name.
A quick release?
Yeah, it's quick release, but there's a brand and name of all of the bits that he uses. And they're all like blue on the end of them. And they're auger bits, but I can't. I was going to think Henry or.
Spider?
Irwin. Irwin. There's a brand name Irwin.
He
puts the Irwin bits on the end. He literally has extra batteries, and there's always charging. He'll wire an entire house where we used to drag around our Milwaukee with our extensions and things like that. And I'm like, Todd, you still using your Milwaukee with your extension? Because what about your floor joists? You know, I can just go along and boom, 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 and hit those floor joists from the floor upstairs or the ceiling joists. And he goes, I'm able to do it all with my cordlesses. I used to have always had the Milwaukee right angles with the conversion and the extension.
Mm-hmm.
And I left it on a project back in Virginia and then moved. Yeah. And it ended up, the guy ended up keeping it. But, Irwin speed bits. Love them. Love those freaking bits, dude.
I would invest in Irwin, and I actually seen a, brand from JP Tools on Instagram. If you don't know who that is, man, go follow him. That guy is always using tools. It's JP Tools, man. I kid you not, Paul, this guy posts 10 videos and don't really explain what it is. He talks about it, but he uses the wall, he uses Milwaukee, he uses endless amount of tools and the spider bits. I haven't invested in them yet, but he's been using the spider augers, so I want to look at them. And what's cool about them is the, with hole saws, you know how you know, if you're drilling into something that's maybe 2 or 3 inches thick wood, you have to take the hole saw off and it gets stuck in there. The spider makes one where you literally pull off and it pops it out. It's like,
oh, really?
It's like spring loaded somehow. Oh, dude, I'm telling you, this thing is cool. I'm actually going to buy it and, I'll show you guys here in a couple weeks when I get it in and tell you guys about it because it is phenomenal. And that's the one thing I love about our trade is we learn so much from people, man. Lowe's does not sell Milwaukee. I didn't think so, man. He says they're Craftsman and Cobalt. Cobalt, sorry.
But I think I have seen Milwaukee in Home Depot.
Oh, Milwaukee's in Home Depot all over the place.
Yeah, so that's the thing about Lowe's, Lowe's does not want to carry what their competitor carries because they're usually across the street from each other. So Cobalt's actually taken the place of a lot of the Southwire stuff that was in there. And I don't see that. It's taken there. It's like they're going with their own Cobalt thing, that type of thing. And Craftsman, since Sears used to have Craftsman, and I guess the Sears went kaput. I miss Sears. And they got Craftsman. They always stand behind their tools. But I don't think they got the greatest name for the power tools. I don't know. But at the end of the day, whatever. So,
Charles asks, is it for metal J or just wood? I think it's for both, Charles. I think it's just a spring loaded. It's a quick release where you hit. I don't know how it works. All I know is if you press a certain two buttons and you pull back, it kicks out the piece of metal or wood. I used to always have to take my hole saw off my drill, unscrew it, and like put the actual bit, and I'm like jabbing the wood or metal, whatever, stuck in the hole saw. I'm trying to force it out, you know, or maybe I use a screwdriver, but it has a quick release on it, man, which is pretty impressive. Awesome. And anything, I don't know if you guys follow Spider, but take a look at them, man. I don't think they're pretty inexpensive, so.
So So getting outside of apprentice stuff, another thing that outside apprentice is blades. If you have never, folks, if you have never, and this is not a plug for them, but if you have never used a Diablo blade, you're missing out. I'm telling you what, in your circular saw or your Sawzall blades, but I tell you what, Diablo's the bomb. Those things will cut for cut and cut and cut. Just, I think I have a Sawzall that I, you know, when I was doing some work with a friend, and it was the last job I did was probably about a month or whatever, month and a half ago, where I wired his he had a detached garage. Shut up. Detached garage with in a second level, and I wired it all and everything. We were cutting. I had a Diablo blade in my Sawzall, and we were cutting. Dude, that thing just cut and cut and cut and cut and cut, and it just still cut. It'd still be cutting right now if my ass wasn't so old that I had to say, I'm done helping you, okay? I'm not supposed to be working all this hard. So, but anyway, it was cutting. So.
Yeah, Joe says Diablo augers and spider augers don't last, break a lot. And I don't know, man. I don't know, G.I. Joe. I'm not sure. Welcome to the channel. It's the first time I've ever seen you in here, man. I'm glad you're giving us this input. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you're using them. I don't know if you're using them incorrectly. I mean, again, sometimes it breaks user error. You know, I'm not saying that to you, G.I. Joe, but I'm just saying.
Hey, G.I., he's just so, he's just a fanboy. Don't worry. He's going to defend. But I just do love the Diablo's circular saws. They sent me one. Somebody sent me one originally to just put in and work with and just use. Yeah. And I literally abused the crap out of that thing, and it just kept cutting. I don't know. I don't know what they do different.
He does make a good point. You know that you know, if you want a certain brand, that Home Depot, and you said this earlier too, is that Home Depot is going to only carry a certain product, and then Lowe's is going to be the competitor. It's just like McDonald's and Burger King, right? I mean, it's same concept. It's still food. It's still tools. Yeah. It is what it is. It's just different quality. You know, you pick which one you want. And
Husky. Now, he says Husky's Home Depot. That's true. I actually got a torquing screwdriver. I did a review on it on my channel, but it's so buried in there from years and years ago. It's a great torquing screwdriver because we know that you guys all – you haven't heard us once talk about a screwdriver that's a torquing screwdriver. So, apprentices – get yourself a torquing screwdriver because you're going to learn pretty quickly that there's a lot of rules that are required for torquing. Okay. And 110.14D in the NEC talks about torque, and no longer has to be calibrated, but that is one way to do it, is a calibrated torquing tool, but there's other ways to do it now. But at the end of the day, believe it or not, you're supposed to be, I know people don't, but you're supposed to torque all of the terminations onto your receptacles. You're supposed to do it on connectors. You're supposed to torque all terminations in a panel. You're supposed to torque all feeders, all service applications. You're supposed to torque. Some may, some may not, whatever, but at the end of the day, you're supposed to. And I will tell you the number one reason that a terminal fails is because of torquing. They don't either over torque or they under torque. Okay. Those type of things. So invest in a torque screwdriver. Keep it with you. I'm just saying. If you get a nice one, it works just like a regular screwdriver. So, you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to feel any different. Okay. So I'm not going to show my screwdrivers, which are the, you know, 1,000-volt rated screwdrivers, but I think you had some of those.
Yeah, I had the nut drivers.
And insulated shaft.
So for you guys out there that are a bunch of tool heads, again, I'm kind of off the apprentice tool. We kind of went over it. We probably went over the apprentice budget.
Some of my tools would keep apprentice in the budget. Okay, my Doyles, my Ames meters.
Check this bad boy out, man. I want to show you guys something really cool, man. Knipex. insulated table cutters, the ratchet style, man. Look at these.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll be honest with you. They had two different versions, man. They had two different versions. One, this was the kind of the more expensive one. They had another version that had another piece. It was like another metal piece right here that, to me, it just, if I'm going to use this inside of, like, let's say a meter cabinet or inside a gear, I didn't want that extended piece. I'm pretty sure it had a purpose, but I didn't like it. I went with the slick, slim look, but look, it's bomb. I mean,
right,
come
there.
On, man.
Beautiful.
I mean, these are nice, brother. SE cable, SER, SEU,
perfect. Does that one say anything on it? Is there a limitation on that for the, you know, copper versus aluminum, or really doesn't say anything?
No, the only thing it tells you on, and again, it tells you kind of all kinds of stuff. It tells you how to operate and everything. But as far as what you're asking about, it says do not cut steel.
Yeah.
Don't cut that steel wire.
So if you're using ACSR, which is service drop, which has a steel supporting center core messenger, not the thing to use. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't cut that.
It's got a steel core.
It'll cut it.
But you don't want to damage a tool like that. Save that for the softer copper and aluminum type of things, that type of thing. I used to have a couple of those. He also was talking about, a DeWalt automatic, automatic screwdriver. Yeah.
Oh! You like the push button one. You push it and it's automatic. It's a screwdriver with a button that you push and it pretty much does it for you. That's sweet, man.
So you also noticed that
you're a baller.
You also notice on a lot of your drills, if you're torquing, it has built into the end the different values, right?
So the numbers?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, got all that built in there too, so you can kind of work that out.
If you're doing like a trim, if you're doing a trim out, you can find that sweet spot. You know, maybe it's a 6 or an 8. That way you're not over torquing your receptacles.
So you're torquing on your
jobs? Check out these boys too.
Oh, insulated islands?
I'm not going to answer that question. Yeah. We look at these Weehaw L hex keys, man. These are freaking sweet. Dude, these are nice, man.
Well,
and the way that they have that soft grip.
So do you use that for your service? You use that for your 4-odd aluminums on your 200-amp panels?
If I use it to take the existing off. So let's say I'm working with a gel and it's a live gear. I'll use this to unloosen it, but to tighten them down, I use a torque. So, good answer. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. But I use these to disconnect them live.
So obviously it's disconnecting them live. What are you doing? Why aren't you putting it in a safe work environment? Aren't you doing lockout tagout so that you don't have to disconnect it live, Jack?
I can't lock the transformer from Excel, man. If I'm doing a service change and it's overhead or it's underground, I'm doing it live, man.
I don't have time for Excel.
There are a bunch of you guys. No. They allow you to do that. I do a closed loop. I call it in. I'm not breaking any laws. I don't have time for those guys to come out, man. You know, and so anyways, GI Kinetix are the best. This is actually a Weehaw here though for the L shape.
Code turd of the week.
X handles. I've invested in these. These are pretty cool, man. I really like these. I'm just kind of in love with these.
All right,
show that tool.
Open that up.
This one?
Yeah. Okay. So see that? Okay, folks, they make that. That is a dangerous tool. Okay, people use that. They make one just like that. They make one just like that with a flat piece on the end of it, Jay.
Yes.
And so that's the perfect tool for stripping something like tray cable. Because what you do is you take that end with the flat. It's kind of like a guide. You take that, you plunge that through the sheathing until the flat piece hits the conductors underneath it, and then you can drag it down without fear of cutting the internal conductors. So I always tell guys, you know, obviously we make, you know, Encore Wire, we make tray cable, and we sell a lot of tray cable. I tell them to get that tool because it has the, not that, like that one, same company, but the one with the flat on the end of it. It's got a little T on the end of it.
Curved too. The one you're talking about has a curve to it.
Yeah, it's a little curve with a T, with the flat glide piece on the end. And it, you, once you plunge it in, you kind of work it in through the non-metallic material, and then once it's in there, you turn it so that it just sits underneath the sheathing, and it glides down the sheath. That's the way, that thing's the one you use for stripping tray cable. I'll tell you what.
Well, so I invested in this one just because I did see that one that you were talking about, and I didn't really do my research to figure out that that was probably the best investment at the time, but I will probably go back and purchase that one too. There's nothing wrong with